Just a number of announcements. As usual, the first announcement, please turn off all cell phones. Extinguish all cell phones. That's number one. Number two, at the end of today's shiur, there will be a kibud cow. We're making, not a party, a kibud cow. First of all, my wife had, well, we had yahrzeit for my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, and my wife's mother means that's also Michael Rubinoff's mother, and it also means that it's Annette, she was Annette Grefstein's sister-in-law, yeah, and Charlotte Grefstein Blumenfeld is around here someplace, oh there she is, that was her Auntie Sally. Her yard site was on Chav Bet Tammuz, that was on Friday, so we're making a kibud kal for that. In addition to the fact that Friday was also the day of yard site for my oldest brother, Rabbi Joseph Gold, and also I'm coming to the end of Loshim for my brother, so for all of these reasons, all of these reasons, we're making a kibud kal. Did I leave anything out?
Yes, you left out one person who's related to the Mishkan. Yes, that was one of her grandchildren.
One of her grandchildren? Oh! Michael, you are absolutely right. Not only one of her grandchildren, one of her favorite grandchildren. All of her grandchildren were her favorite grandchildren. Our daughter Levi Nadav over there, she is also here. So, all right, so now, that was very, Michael, that was very good. I appreciate that. All right, so we're learning Le'ilui Nishmotehem. Sora Esther Perel, Bas Yumia, Harav Yosef Yoel Ben Yehuda, Harav Shmuel Yehoshua Ben Yehuda. Alright. We're coming to the end of Sefer Bamidbar. And it's very apt that the end of Sefer Bamidbar brings us to the end of the journey of the Jewish people in the desert. And Parshas Maaseh begins with a listing of every stop that was made during the journey of 40 years, one after another. They journeyed from here and they encamped there. 42 different places. And then Rashi basically points out, why do we need this seemingly boring listing of places they came from here and they went there? So Rashi says that it all points out Chazdei HaMokom, the loving kindness of the of God, that He protected them and provided them and took them through that desert, and the fact that even though He had decreed that they should remain and die in the desert, they really didn't do too much traveling. 18 of the journeys were in their first year. During the rest of the 38 years, it was only from time to time. And by the way, it's also related to the fact that the Haftorah that was read last week was the first chapter in Yirmiyahu. This week it'll be the second chapter in Yirmiyahu, and in that first chapter of Yirmiyahu, God tells Yirmiyahu, tell the Jewish people, Zochartu lo chesed miurayich, ahavat lulotayich, lechteich acharai vamidbar, be'eretz lo zerua. Tell the Jewish people that I remember the kindness of your youth, that you followed me out into the desert, a place that uninhabitable. And of course there are other reasons why each one of these places are mentioned, to let you know that each one of these places were absolute desert. There were no oases. It wasn't near a big city. Everything that they needed in order to survive, Everything was provided by God. Everything. These were not places in the desert that were in close proximity to in close proximity to areas where people did indeed live. That was it. It was desert, and in Sefer Devarim we're going to hear Moshe Rabbeinu describe that desert. How frightening and terrifying it was, except for the fact that God was the one who was taking them through the desert. So here, in this last Sedra in Bamidbar, we are given all of the journeys of the Jewish people, and all the preparations are now being made in order to enter into Eretz Yisrael. In the parasha, we're going to have the famous parasha of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. They are called Gvulot Maaseh. There's an entire verbal picture of the map of what ultimately will be Eretz Yisrael. Very fascinating psukim. Not too easy to understand. And then, last minute preparations. God tells them that when you come into the land, then you're going to have to make sure that there are cities of refuge. Somebody kills unintentionally, he should be able to flee to a city of refuge. We're even told that the Reuven and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh were already given their portion on the east side of the Yarden, and we're getting ready now to go in, cross the Jordan, and go into the west bank of the Yarden. All right. Those are something that we're going to focus on. On your sheets, for your Rabbi Hashem Moshe va'arvot Moav a Yarden yirei kolot lemor. God spoke to Moshe at the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Yericho. Yericho is the other side. They're facing Yericho. That means they're right up against the banks of the Yarden. Rabbi El Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people. V'alat Maharat Alei, and you should say to them, Ki atem ovdim et haYarden el Eretz Kenan. Crossing the Jordan to go into the land of Canaan. V'horashtem et kol yoshvei ha'aretz mifneichem, and you shall cast out, drive out all of the inhabitants of the land from before you. V'ibadetem et kol maskiyotam, and you shall destroy all of their temples. Et kol tzalmei maaseh chotam te'abedu, and all of their molten images shall you destroy. Et kol bamotam tashmidu, and all of their high places where they worship idols, all of it shall be demolished. V'horashtem et haaretz, v'yushavtem bo, ki lochem natati et haaretz l'reshet hata. This pasuk, by the way, is going to be the focus of the shiur. And for that matter, it's not going to be the whole pasuk. We're only going to focus on one word. But what a word. First, let's take a look at the pasuk again. And we'll take a look at the and we'll take a look at the English translation. V'horashtem et haaretz, v'horashtem et haaretz, and you shall rid the land. The English translation says, and you shall rid the land. I don't know how you do that. I don't know what and you shall rid the land means. But we're going to find out. You shall rid the land. And you shall rid the land. And you shall settle in it. Because to you I have given the land. So that you should possess it. And you shall give the land as an inheritance by means of lots. You shall give the land as an inheritance by lot, l'mishpachotechem, to your families, l'chav, tarbulet, nachloto, to the larger family, gets a larger portion, v'ama'at tamitet, nachloto, a smaller family, or a smaller tribe, is going to get a smaller portion, el asher yetzei lo, shoma ha'gorol, lo yihyeh, wherever the gorol, the lot, they're going to draw lots, wherever the lot falls out, that's where it shall be. All inheritance of the land goes according to the father's fen, lematot avotekam, according to the tribes of your fathers. Bimlo torishu, extremely, extremely important pasuk. Bimlo torishu at Yoshua Yoretz, if you are not going to cast out the inhabitants of the land, mipnechem, from before you, certainly this is one of the most important psukim of contemporary relevance. And if the Rebbe Hashem wrote this all of those years ago, then we have to take heed. If you will not cast out the inhabitants of the land, mipnechem, from before you, v'hoya asher totiru mehem, and it will be that those whom you leave over, they will be lesikim be'einechem, there will be pins in your eyes, v'litzninim b'tzideichem, and as thorn hedges at your side, v'tzorgu etchem, and they will harass you, al ha'aretz asher atem yoshim ba, they will harass you on the land in which you live. V'hoya kasher dimiti la'asot lehem, and it shall be that what I had meant to do to them, I shall do to you. Very, very serious. Very serious. I have just now decided that I think I'm going to change the order of Bashir a little bit. Why did I have to tell you? You didn't know the difference. Once I said this pasuk sort of grabbed me. V'imlo torishu, let's take a look at pasuk Nunhei again. Pasuk 55, v'imlo torishu, if you will not cast out at Yoshvei Haaretz mipnechem, from before you, v'hoya asher totiru mehem, those who you will leave will be pins in your eyes, thorns in your side, v'tzoreru etchem, and they will harass you, al haaretz asher atem yoshvim ba, on the land upon which you live. Now, the last phrase in this pasuk can be read in one of two ways. The simple meaning, as we just read it, is you're going to be living on the land, and they're here in the land, they're going to harass you. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have peace. All right? As Rashi says, pasuk 55, V'hoya asher totiru mehem, yiyu lechem l'ra'ah, they shall be a cause of harm for you. They will cause you harm. What I wanted to do is turn over to the second side of this page. How did I leave that out? Okay. At the bottom of the page. At the bottom of the page. You see what it says, V'horashtem et ha'aretz, that's the Orachayim HaKadosh. The Orachayim says the following, this is a classic, great Orachayim. V'horashtem et ha'aretz, now, there are, you should have noticed that there are two psukim that begin with the words V'horashtem. Pasuk 52 says, V'horashtem, at Kol Yoshvei Haaretz Mipnechem, you shall cast out all the inhabitants of the land. Pasuk Nun Gimel, the pasuk immediately afterwards also says, V'horashtem et Haaretz V'yishaftem Ba, and that was translated, and you shall rid the land and settle in it. And now, pasuk 55, V'imlo torishu et Yoshvei Haaretz Mipnechem, if you will not drive out the inhabitants, those who will remain will be thorns in your side. So now, in this Orachayim, I want you to go to Pasuk Nunhei. Vim lo torishu, if you're not going to cast them out, they're going to be thorns in your sides. L'divrem zal shamru, according to our rabbis who said, kol makom shenema v'hoyo, hu lashon simcha, the Gemara says, in a number of places where it says v'hoyo, this means something of joy is happening. But now, wait a minute, over here it says v'hoyah, and it doesn't seem to be a very happy situation. Kan nitkaven lomar shehagam shehem yotidu otam litzad harotzon v'hasimcha behem litzorchehem. Now that's over here, it says v'hoyah, if you're not going to cast them out and you're going to leave them there, then they are going to become a source of great suffering for you. I put the word v'hoyah should mean something of joy. It's something good. So the Arachaim says, v'hoya, if you're going to leave them in the land for your benefit, you think that this is very good for you to leave them in the land. I don't know, maybe you want a Shabbos guy. I don't know. Maybe you need cheap labor. No, for whatever reason. So you should know, even though you think that leaving them in the land is going to be a source of great joy for you, because you're going to leave them over, because you want and you are happy with them, for their needs, you're going to leave them because they will serve your needs. Whom it comes, so the Torah lets them know, you should know, no joy and no goodness and no happiness is going to come from it. It's only going to be suffering for you. The next piece, V'tzorru etchem al haaretz, is one of the most brilliant of the comments of the Orachaim. V'tzorru, you're going to leave them over, so the Pasuk says they will harass you on the land in which you live. Now, so that means, you know, we leave them here amongst us, so we're going to suffer right here. He reads the pasuk in a completely different way. V'tzorru etchem al haaretz, they will harass you on the land, peyush. It's, I don't know whether this is prophecy or this is Ruach HaKodesh. The Orachain says, lo milvad sheyachaziku b'chelet mehaaretz shelo zechitem bo. Not only will they take possession of the part of the land that you didn't take possession of, also that part of the land in which you live, that you have indeed taken possession of it, they're going to harass you about that portion that you have. Loma, to say to you, kumutsu mimenu, get up and get out of here. The Arachaim is talking today. When we would read the pasuk without the Arachaim, it would mean that wherever they are, they're going to cause us trouble where we are. No, al haaretz, he says, means they're going to harass you about the land in which you live. It's not enough for them what they have. They're going to say, get out, Juden, raus, from that part of the land that you are in. Nevuah. U'pedosh tevas al, the meaning of the word al over here, kederach omro, al asher mediten pi, al asher lo kidashtem. About, not on. The word al can mean on. That means if there's an act of terror that comes from East Jerusalem, here, then they are harassing us on the land. The Arachaim says the word al over here, and there are many cases where the word al means about. About. They will harass you about the land in which you live. Not enough what they have. They want you out of where you are. He has described the world of today. But that's only one part of it. Let's go to the first Arachayim. V'horashtem et haaretz v'yashavtem ba. V'horashtem et haaretz. Will you take a look at the pasuk? Let's go back to these. Take a look at those. Take a look at 52 and 53. Nun beis and nun gimel. V'horashtem et kol yoshvei haaretz v'nefen. You shall drive out all of the inhabitants of the land from before you. Alright? The next pasuk begins not precisely the same way, but nearly the same way. But there's something missing. In Pasuk 53 it says, "V'horashtem et ha'aretz." You shall, well, you shall what? How do you translate this? We read the English translation that says, "You shall rid the land." What do you mean, "You shall rid the land"? How do you rid the land? How do you rid the land? The passage before it said, "V'horashtem, you should rid the land of Yoshvei Haaretz." That's what it said, clearly. "V'horashtem et kol Yoshvei Haaretz." I didn't notice that. That call was very important. You shall rid the land or drive out all of the inhabitants of the land. Over here it says, "V'horashtem et haaretz." How do you do that? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk 53. It's underlined, "V'horashtem et haaretz." "V'horashtem otam mi yoshveha." Rashi is inserting something that, according to his pshat in the pasuk, has to be understood. You don't rid land. What must it mean, therefore? You shall rid the land of its inhabitants. So Rashi is putting in what has to be understood. The horashta metaretz, you shall rid the land of its inhabitants. Vaz, and then the pasuk goes on to say, "V'yishavtembo," and you shall settle in the land, which Rashi explains only after you have. There's no word like ridded. Not as there rug. No, no, not that. When you have removed the inhabitants of the land, then v'yishavtembo. Then you will be able to survive. To chlulit kayen, you shall be able to last in it. V'im lav, Rashi makes it very clear. If you're not going to rid the land, lo to chlulit kayen, you're not going to be able to. You won't make it. You won't make it. Yes.
What is then the difference between 52 and 53? In 52, he specifically says, and why in 53 is it implied? What is the difference?
That's exactly what we have to talk about. Why does it say clearly in 52, "V'horashtem et kol yoshvei haaretz," and in 53, where it's understood, it's not written? So why is it written this way? That's the problem. Which brings us, of course, to most probably the most famous Ramban in Chumash. Certainly the most famous Ramban in Chumash, I'd say, for the last 500 years. Turn over. We have here a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. The Ramban says, it's at the top of the page, and you have the English translation. I got myself an English Ramban, so you can follow. "V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo, ki lachem natati et ha'aretz l'reshet ota." Aldati, this is famous Ramban. Aldati, my opinion, zu mitzvat asehi. This is a positive commandment. What's the positive commandment? So you're wondering over here that the positive commandment is to rid the land of them or to drive them out? No. This is the mitzvah, the positive commandment, Yitzadeh Otam, God commands them, Sheyeshu Ba'aretz, that they should settle in the land, V'yirshu Ota, and they shall inherit it, Kihu Netana Lahem, because He has given the land to them, V'lo Yimasu B'Nachlat Hashem, they should not reject the inheritance of God. You know what the difference over here is? I don't know why it just struck me. This word, v'horashtem, is really the same word as Yerusha. Now, do you understand? The word to cast out and the word to take possession of, same word. We gave a shiur a few years ago about this phenomenon in Lashon HaKodesh. In Hebrew, there's a phenomenon of the same word can mean something and its precise opposite. Precise opposite. By the way, this is something that you have in English as well. In English as well. Pity. pitted dates. What are pitted dates? Dates without pits. All right? Dates without pits. Lahashdish. Lahashdish. That's what you wanted to say. Yeah, no. Okay, an entire day. Lahashdish means to cause something to take root. How do you say to uproot? Lishagesh. Lishagesh is to uproot. He had, don't get me wrong, he had the same root, Yud Vei Shin, has two meanings. It means to remove, and it means to take hold. By the way, it may very well be, you know why it has these two meanings? Because the only way you're going to inherit is if you're going to remove. The two meanings are there in the same word. Because that's exactly how they can happen. Yerusha can happen only after the Horashta. No. The Vachlokas here between Rashi and the Chamban is, Rashi is learning the word Vahorashtem in this pasuk, meaning you shall drive out. And this same word Vahorashtem, the Ramban is saying, and you shall inherit. So Rashi, who learns Vahorashtem, means that you shall cast out, must of course add that you cast out the inhabitants of the land. The Ramban doesn't have that problem. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that that may have been one of the reasons why the Rambam read it this way. Because the way he reads the pasuk for Horashtem Atarit, that you shall inherit the land, he doesn't have to add any words to it to make it understood. There's another thing that comes to the fore. The pasuk says for Horashtem Atarit, the Yishavtem Bar, and you shall settle in it. Now, the Yishavtembo can also be understood in two ways. The Yishavtembo can mean you should or you will. The difference is a very big difference. You should means there's a mitzvah to live in the land. God is telling you there's a mitzvah. In other words, this mitzvah that all these Americans go crazy about, you know, they nefesh benefesh around the mitzvah of Aliyah, that mitzvah, according to Rambam, is in this word, the Yishavtem Bo. The Chavrishim saying, you shall live in the land. Rashi is not learning the Yishavtem Bo as you shall live in the land. Rashi is learning it as a promise or a guarantee. If you rid the land of its inhabitants, then you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you will be able to live in the land. If you will do that, you will survive in the land. Otherwise not. That means a big difference, light years away, between the Ramban's reading of the Pasuk and Rashi's reading of the Pasuk. The Ramban reads the Pasuk as the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. V'horashtem et haaretz means take possession of the land. The Yishavtem Bo, Ramban is going to explain what yeshiva in the land means. Right away we will read the Ramban. There's Vahorashtem, taking possession and living in the land. According to Rashi, no. Not that Rashi is opposed to living in Eretz Yisrael. No, not at all. But the question is this pasuk the pasuk that tells us that mitzvah? Rashi says no. The pasuk over here is a guarantee or a promise. There are similar places in Torah. When you come to the land, va'amarta, and you will say, Asima alai melech, I want a king. I want a king. Two ways that can be learned. Va'amarta can be telling us that, you know, there will come a moment in time at which you will say this. If you do that, then I'm telling you the mitzvah, son, tosim, alef, or melech, place a king upon yourself. There's another way to learn it, a completely different way. That when you come to the land, for marto, and you should say, you should request a king, you should say, son, tosim, osim, alef, melech, I want a king. back to the Ramban, the classic words of the Ramban. Al-Dati, the Ramban says, my opinion is, Zu mitzvah will say this is a positive commandment, Yitzhakel-tam, God commands them, Sheyeshu be'eretz, Ba'aretz, they should settle in the land, Yerushu-alta, and inherit it, Ki-hu-netan-alem, because he gave it to them, V'lo-yim ha-su-be-machalat Hashem, and they shall not reject the inheritance of God. V'ilu yamle al-datom lo-lechet v'lirvosh eretz shinar o eretz ashur v'zulatam. And if it will ever occur to them that they should go and conquer the land of Shinar, or the land of Ashur, Babylon, or Assyria, Vizulatan, or any other country, Ulit Yashesham, and to settle there, Yadru al Mitzvah Hashem, they will transgress a positive commandment of God. Then he goes on to say, Umashe Hifligu Rabotenu, and that our rabbis emphasized the mitzvah of Hayeshiva Be'eretz Yisrael, of living, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, b'sheh also latzut latzeit mimena, and that our rabbi said one is prohibited from going out of the land unless it's for good reason. V'yadonu kumoredet ho'ishon she'en erotza lalos in Ba'al Eretz Yisrael, and a woman who does not want to go on aliyah with her husband is considered a rebellious woman. Don't get upset. The Ramban puts in the two significant words, the chen ho'ish. It's also true with regard to the man, there is absolutely no difference. If he wants to go or she wants to go, they can each coerce one another to go on aliyah. V'kan nitzavenu b'mitzvah zo. Everything that is said in the Talmud, and there is so much that's written about Eretz Yisrael, so much that's written about that mitzvah. This is the pasuk. B'kan, here, nitzavenu, we've been commanded in mitzvah hazu. Ki akosum hazeh hi mitzvah hazeh, because this pasuk is a positive commandment. V'yachazir ha-mitzvah hazu b'mekomot rabim, and this mitzvah is going to repeat it time and time again in many places. And a number of them are going to be in next week's sefer. It quotes now from next week's Seder, Bo Urushuat Haaretz, come and let us inherit the land. Avol Rashi Piresh, the Raman says, but Rashi explained, Vo Rashtem et Haaretz, Vo Rashtem Otam mi Yoshveha, you will rid the land of her inhabitants, us then, vi Yashafta Bo Yishuel, to live in the land. Tuchlu lit Kayen Bo, you will be able to survive there. And if not, you won't be able to. The Ramban quotes the whole Rashi. Alright? The Ramban pulls no punches. He says, but our interpretation of the word, of the verse is the principal one. Right. This brings us on the next page, second page, that big page with all the writing and all the numbers. This brings us to what most probably is the clarion call of our generation. This is most probably the Ramban that is known by every one of the kids who's on the mountaintops of Yehuda v'Shomron and throughout Eretz Yisrael. This is the famous Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot. The Sefer HaMitzvot is the following. The Ramban wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot, in which he lists the 248 positive commandments, the 365 negative commandments. In his introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvot, he also lists the 14 points of the Rambam, where he establishes the principles by which we know what is counted as a mitzvah and what is not. Because if you're going to take every pasuk in Torah that seems to be telling you what to do, and you're going to, each one is going to be a mitzvah, then you're going to have thousands of mitzvahs. It most probably says, Ushmartem et mitzvotai, you shall keep my commandments. Ushmartem et chukotai, and keep my statutes. Hundreds of times. No. The Rambam gives us very clear guidelines as to what is considered a mitzvah that is in the list of the mitzvot. Now, so the Rambam gives us his 248 positive commandments. The Ramban wrote a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot. And after the Rambam lists his 248 mitzvahs, the Rambam gives a list of mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to write. You understand? Or that the Rambam left them out. I think there are 17 or 18. Then the Rambam, of course, is going to give us his 365 negative commandments, and the Ramban is going to disagree. This disagreement between the Ramban and the Rambam most probably has generated more, I wanted to use the word controversy, but no, that's not the word. There has been more halachic Talmudic discussion and writing about this machloket than any other. Because the mystery really becomes, why indeed didn't the Rambam list the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Does the Rambam hold there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Absolutely not. Forget about it. Don't even give it a thought. We're not going to deal with the Rambam. We're only dealing with the Rambam. And it took me, I think I want to mention, it took me about, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years, until something suddenly struck me. I learned here in Eretz Yisrael in 1955 and 56. And there was a period of time, a few weeks, that I was learning with somebody in Merkaz HaRav. Merkaz HaRav then was on Rehov HaRav Cook. You know where Rehov HaRav Cook is? In the center of town? Yeah. It wasn't a very big yeshiva at the time. By the way, there weren't very many big yeshivas altogether. You could count them on one hand. You had Hebron. Mir was no. The 4,000 Americans had not yet come to Mir. All right. What else did you have in Panovich? Yes, Panovich was big. There was Slabodka. A few others. It was, as I told you in the past, it was a very, very small Torah world. The Torah world was very small. It was a little world. Whenever we get upset with the powers that be over here, we have to pinch ourselves and remind ourselves that the greatest explosion of Torah learning in the history of the Jewish people took place in this secular Zionist state. I'm not saying that Ben Gurion was the Rosh Yeshiva of the country, but it seems in some way the atmosphere here was such that gave rise to this great birth. So anyway, there I was learning in this place called Merkaz HaRav, and I don't know, the fellow I was learning with got wind of the fact that I'm only here temporarily. You know, I'm not staying around. I'm going back to America. Anyway, I found myself one day, right next to the Beis Medrash, was a dining room, a living room. Dining room, living room. It had originally been the dining room, living room of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, and there it is, they usher me in, and before I know it, I'm found sitting at this table with a, not such an elderly gentleman, but to me, I was a little boy. Not so little. He takes out a sefer and he starts learning with me. And he learned with me this Ramban that we're about to learn right now. Took me years till one day it struck me that was Rav Tzvi Yehuda. That was Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. He was a chashiv at the time. And he pashut like a tata. He sat down with me and learned this Ramban. So we're going to start. We're going to start the Rambam. If we go into extra innings next week, it's so much related to next week's Seder too. So we're going to extra innings. But meanwhile, for once in our lives, living in our soul, we should know the great Rambam. The great Rambam. Mitzvah Revius. This is the fourth mitzvah where the Rambam says the Rambam should have listed it and didn't. Shemitztavenu, that we have been commanded. Lordeshet ha'aretz, to inherit the land. Asher natan ha'kel yidbarak v'yidale la'avotenu, that God, may He be blessed and exalted, gave to our fathers, to our God, to Yitzhak and to Yaakov. V'lo nazveh ha'biyad zulatenu min ha'umot, and we shall not leave it in the hands of any other nation, Old Lishmama. This is very important. He says, just taking possession of the land is not enough. We can't leave the land desolate. There's a mitzvah in planting and plowing and growing. The land has to be a land that's fruitful. V'hu amro lahem, where does this mitzvah come from? So he says, it's what God said to them, V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yashavtem bo, ki lachem nachati et ha'aretz v'odeshet otam. This is our pasuk. This is the pasuk on which the Ramban bases that this is a the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. V'hitnachaltem et ha'aretz. And you should give the land over from generation to generation as an inheritance. V'nichbal kazeh ha'inyan v'mitzvah zu v'mitomot ha'chedim. And he says, here at the beginning, he says the same things that he said right here on this pasuk, that the pasuk was, this mitzvah was repeated a number of times in different places. As it says, as he said, Bo reshuat ha'aretz, come and inherit the land. Asher nishbati l'avotechem, that I swore to give to your fathers. Uparat lahem b'mitzvah zu kula b'gvuleo u'meitzoreo. God was very careful to tell them precisely the boundaries, and where this mitzvah is fulfilled. Kemo Shama, as it says, Ubo Har Amori, come to the mountain of the Amori, Vel Kol Shechinah, and to all of the places around Ba'arava, Bahar, Bashvela, Ba'negev, Ubechof Hayam, to all of the neighbors, we're talking about the Arava, the mountain. This is a description of all of the all of the geographic parts of Eretz Yisrael. Shelo yanichu mimeno makom. You're not permitted to leave a place that is not, you know, doing something. Is used. It has to be used. By the way, used doesn't mean high-rise apartment buildings. It means gardens and parks and rivers and water and water. Now, this is just an aside, but maybe an important aside. And maybe we'll go into this greater length next week. No, I can't plan anything, but all right. It's on the, again, you know, every 5-6 years, it's again an issue. The Golan. So what's most important is, you have to know, the Golan is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's not Chutz La'aretz. The Golan is part of Eretz Yisrael. I read a piece from Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, one of the Gedolim of the previous generation, where he makes the point. I once said it, but I never saw anybody who wrote it. He said you should know that the land that God gave to the Jewish people was a land that had natural borders. The topography is such that it is the natural borders. For example, the Green Line is the most unnatural border in the world. It's a line, it's nothing. The Rebbeinu gave a land to his people, so he gave it that, you know, there's a mountain range at the top. There's a desert to the east. By the way, in this week's Seder, you have the eastern border is not the Yarden. The eastern border is the Arabian desert. Shtekidot la-Yarden. There are two sides to the Yarden. B'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvein, who in last week's Seder, and it's mentioned again in this week's Seder, who were given the other side of the Yarden, they didn't live in Chutz La'aretz. I had somebody who sent me a shayla yesterday by email. I don't like this email stuff, you know, like there's something about it that you have to answer immediately. I don't want to answer anything immediately. But here I had this question, like how did the sons of how did Reuven and Gad live on the other side of the Jordan? You know, does it mean that there's no mitzvah to make aliyah? How could they remain in Chutz La'aretz? I mean, so I made short shrift and made it absolutely clear to him. The other side of the Yarden is Eretz Yisrael. And the Golan is Eretz Yisrael. That's what it is. And let nobody tell you, as some of our people who refer to it as Harama HaSuhit, the Syrian Heights. So there's about people. Oh, baby, it's not the Syrian Heights. It is Golan Babashan, which also is related to this week's Sefer, by the way. Because this week's Sefer tells us that you have to have three cities of refuge on the west side of Jordan, three cities of refuge on the east side, and the northern one was Golan Babashan, the Golan that was up in the Bashan. I saw somebody, a fellow with a great in Tanakh, I think it's Elitzur, so he wrote that if you look through Torah, you're going to find all sorts of interesting names. Gilad. I mean, Gilad was one of the children of Menashe. Another one of the children had the name Shem. He lists about five, six names of Jews living in Mitzrayim before they go out to freedom, and their names were the names of places in Eretz Yisrael. You understand? So from this, he wants to prove that, listen, Jews had lived before they went down to Egypt. They had lived a number of years in this country, and they became close to this country. It reminded me when you see it in the names that they gave to their children. Reminded me, I was once invited to see a film of a play by there's the Ma'aleh, the religious school for film production. So they had a film of a real activist family, you know, they're going to this demonstration and the kids are going to that demonstration, they're getting on the buses, getting off the buses, you know, what we remember from about 10 years ago or so. And then they're sitting around the table, and the mother is a real American settler, the father is a real Israeli, and she says, Hebron, pass the salt, Hebron. Okay, and then a lawnmower. Can you clear that off the table? And then of course there's Yerushalayim. How could you do that? You know, it was hilarious. And I was thinking about this when I see this article that they gave. There are names in Torah that were names of places in Eretz Yisrael. That means they took this with them when they went to Mitzrayim, and they brought this back with them when they came back to Eretz Yisrael. There are even Rishonim who say that because Menashe and Ephraim were part of the family of Yosef, they were at times permitted to leave Mitzrayim, even during the course of the enslavement. And they went to look, they had land in the Golan, and they were given the Golan. The half tribe of Menashe was given the Golan, last week said that. They went to look after their real estate, and then they came back to Mitzrayim. And that ultimately was understood that they were going to get the Golan, and they did. So if anybody is going to try and tell you anything about it's not Eretz Yisrael, the answer is a one word answer. Rubbish. That's how Englishmen wipe the floor with somebody. Alright, let's go a little further in the Rambam, which in Yitzhak Hashem will finish next week, and then we'll have our kibud. So, Parat Lahem. Yeah, mitzvah. You see where it's underlined? After the Ramban has defined the mitzvah, there's structure to the Ramban. He defines the mitzvah. He says what the mitzvah means, where the mitzvah applies. Now he says, "V'harayit shezu mitzvah," proof that this is the mitzvah, and there is a mitzvah to go on aliyah. When God said, but regard to the spies, go and inherit, as God spoke to you, don't be afraid and don't be broken. In other words, alei reish. This is the mitzvah. Go up and inherit. And it says also, and when God sent you from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, Lema, he said, go up and inherit the land that I have given to you. When they didn't want to go up and listen to God's word, there it says, "Vatamru et pi Hashem lekechem." You rebelled against the words of God, your God. V'lo ha'emantem lo. You didn't listen to him. V'lo shematem b'kolo. You didn't listen to his voice. Horah. This teaches us. Shehaitam mitzvah lo yigud v'haftacha. This is a very important part of the sentence. It's a mitzvah, not a promise or a guarantee of what will be our destiny. Rashi learns the pasuk v'horashtem et ha'aretz. This is a promise. This is a promise. This is a guarantee. Or this is telling us what's going to be. The Ramban says, no, it's an imperative. I'll give you another example. V'shav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha v'richamecha. God will return your captivity and that pasuk is the mitzvah of v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Can read it in one of two ways. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha can be read and you will return to God your God at the end. Jews are going to do tshuva. That's how the Rambam writes it. Ukvar hivticha Torah has already guaranteed shesov Yisrael lasos tshuva besov galusam. The end is going to be that Jews are going to do tshuva at the end of their exile. Umiyad ha'nigolim, and immediately they're going to be redeemed. The Geulah, the Yeshua, is going to come, because the Rambam reads v'shavta Hashem Elokecha, a guarantee or a promise. Your destiny is going to be that you're going to do tshuva. There are others who learn that v'shavta Hashem Elokecha means you should mitzvah to do tshuva, mitzvah to do tshuva. So the same thing over here. V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba. Does the yishavtem ba mean you will? Or you shall, you should. So that's why the Rambam here just said those words. Horah, these psukim prove shehaitam mitzvah. It's a command. Lo yi'ud v'haftacha. It is not some kind of a promise of what is going to happen in the future. V'zuhi shachachomim korum altam milchemet mitzvah. And this is what our wise men, the chachomim, called this is a milchemet mitzvah, a milchama of mitzvah to inherit the land. The chachom rabbi Gemara Sota, that's how the Gemara Sota says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, milchemet Yehoshua likvosh, the wars of Yehoshua to conquer, divyachol chove, everybody holds that this is obligatory. Because that mitzvah is to conquer in order that they should live there. Milchemes David laharvacha. There were times that David waged war in order to expand the area of Eretz Yisrael. Now that should never be misunderstood as though, you know, David wanted Laban's crown, so he just went out there and fought with anybody. He did that when they were suffering from somebody that was causing them great problems at the border. Then he went out. And then there's more to be understood about the wars of David. That's Dilyakol Rishut. Everybody says that that's optional. Uvloshin HaSifri, and the Sifri says, V'yirishto v'yirshavto bo, you shall inherit the land and live. B'zchut shetidash teshay. And the zchut of, in other words, if you take possession of the land, then the Rebbein Shalom is going to make sure that you will remain in the land. my mother-in-law, Leah Shalom, was a great lover of Eretz Yisrael. She was there at least the last number of years of her life. I don't know how many was it, 8, 9 years that she lived. She lived in Haranov, not far from us, and that was they were very wonderful years for her. I think we were nice to her, and she liked the grandchildren, and she was zeichut at least to have Kenayin Hover. I couldn't even figure out the number of grandchildren and great grandchildren who are all Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. That's pretty good. The neshama is all ahavin on Aliyah, and we need her. She was at times she could be a very tough lady. We need her. Huh?
Strong.
Yeah. My wife doesn't like the word.
I like the word tough.
You like tough. Okay? Determined. She will know. She will tell the Rebbeinu Shlomo, listen to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, you have kinder in Eretz Yisrael, and I have kinder in Eretz Yisrael. So that time, you should bring real peace and Yeshua, Geula, to Klal Yisrael.